Good morning. You're listening to WGBH's Morning Edition. It's Thursday morning, 10 minutes before 9, and I welcome, as usual, to the studio, arts editor Jared Bowen. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, we begin with the Carole King musical, entitled, appropriately enough, Beautiful.
I feel like I'm still bouncing out of the Opera House where I saw this show last night because it just opened. I was one night shy because then I heard that Carole King was actually in the audience the night before earlier this week. She wanted to see this cast. And this is a show that takes us back to the early 1960s when she's just getting going as a songwriter, when Carole Klein became Carole King, when she decided that rather than become a school teacher, which is what her mother wanted her to be, she would become a songwriter, and she began to sell her songs. And of course, they range from One Fine Day, Pleasant Valley Sunday, Natural Woman, that Aretha Franklin sang, up to her Tapestry album. And that's the span of this show. And it's just fun. It is a jukebox musical, so you're getting all of this great music, but you're also getting it in the context of how she created and her relationship. I mean, she met Jerry Goffin when she was just 16 years old. She became pregnant. They got married, and they were this great songwriting duo. Wow. So you see them creating on stage along with Cynthia Weil and Barry Mann, and these two couples dueling it out in dueling offices trying to get their songs to number one hits. It's a really, really fun story, and the star of this show is Abby Mueller. And this is a bit interesting because her sister Jessie Mueller, who we all just saw here at the ART in Waitress, actually won the Tony for playing Carole King on Broadway.
Really?
And now her older sister is going out on tour, and she's resplendent. She has a fantastic voice, and she's just captivating on stage.
Well, you know, Carole King was always a great songwriter, and her album Tapestry came out. Nobody really knew who she was or anything, and that album just took off because the songs were so good.
And that's what works about this show, because you see her behind the scenes all this time, and you see this growing conviction where she can finally, and even a little bit reluctantly, step into the spotlight.
I know. Anyway, that's the Carole King musical Beautiful, and it's now through November 15th at the Boston Opera House. Also through November 15th, the latest presentation at the Huntington Theater Company at the Calderwood Pavilion entitled Choice.
Yeah, Choice is, it's a very interesting piece. I will say it's very, very entertaining. It's written by Winnie Holtzman, who wrote the book for Wicked. She also created the television series My So-Called Life, and this is really her first play here at the Huntington, and it centers on Zippy Zunder. She's a middle-aged journalist who's covering a story about a Hollywood producer who's in part of this this society and this group of people that believe in souls that have come back to them. It's a little difficult to describe because it's a little bit of a difficult concept. But essentially what we're getting at here is that Zippy is coming to terms at middle age with the abortion she had years prior. And she believes this young man who has entered into her life may be that soul of that aborted fetus returning to her. Now, this is very heavy subject matter for what ultimately is a very funny and entertaining play. And it's about reconciling choice and decisions and how they play out through your life and how you allow them to enter into your life later on. It's a very interesting piece. I think because it's written by Winnie Holtzman, it's got great one-liners, it's very funny. It does meander a little bit, and the resolution is a little bit difficult. But as strange as this might sound to say, it's still worth it just for how entertaining the piece is for her group of friends, her daughter, her husband. It's a great, great dream cast on stage here.
All right, then, presented by the Huntington Theater Company at the Calderwood Pavilion, Choice, playing through November 15th. Now, the next topic, of course, is something we've heard a lot about. It's the movie Spotlight.
Well, Spotlight, this is long anticipated in Boston. This is about the Boston Globe Spotlight team taking on the Boston Catholic Church in 2002 as it began to unearth evidence of massive, widespread sexual abuse of children by priests. Of course, this is all based on a very true story, a story that I covered with Emily Rooney. And so I was very astutely aware of many of the players involved and interviewed many of the personalities here, from the victims to the church to the attorneys. And what has just blown my mind here is how phenomenal this film is. Just cinematically, it's a great film. Technically, it's a great film. But then the director and the screenwriters here really managed to get the tone of what was happening in this city at the time. It was a major, major thing for the Boston Globe to take on the Catholic Church, which the Globe acknowledged that the Catholic readership was 53% of their constituency. Hmm. We have a small clip here with Marty Baron, played by Liev Schreiber. He had just landed here from Miami as the editor of the Boston Globe. People wondered who he was because he was Jewish. He didn't like baseball, and he was a Miami transplant. So who is this outsider who wants to come in and take on the church? And here he is redirecting the Spotlight team's investigation.
We need to focus on the institution, not the individual priests. Practice and policy. Show me the church manipulated the system so that these guys wouldn't have to face charges. Show me they put those same priests back into parishes time and time again. Show me this was systemic, that it came from the top down.
Sounds like we're going after law.
That's Cardinal Bernard Law.
Yeah, it's so from beginning to end, this is also a dream cast. Mark Ruffalo, John Slattery, Rachel McAdams playing the Spotlight team. I just found it gripping beginning to end. And it's interesting because earlier this fall we talked about the Bulger movie, which didn't capture
really
me in the same way, but this nails it. And I think it's a lock for Best Picture.
Wow, really? Okay, well, remember that. Keep that tape for next year. Now, one of the things I noticed was some of the real-life reporters, you know, who this film includes, the actors would hang around with them, taking notes. And they were kind of like, these reporters are surprised, you know, the actors actually put this much effort into playing their roles.
Well, and I think that's why this film is, because it's just so genuine. I really can't express this enough, how real it is in the portrayal of what actually happened.
Wow, okay. Spotlight, I'm sure a lot of people will be seeing it around here, that's for sure. Another film is the new James Bond film, Spectre.
Yeah, Spectre picks up just after 2012's Skyfall, and James Bond is reeling because, of course, M, played by Judi Dench, has just died. He's trying to get back on track, and he has one last missive that I can't go into too much detail for spoiler alerts, but it sends James Bond on this quest. What I appreciated about this in the first half of the film is it's very old school James Bond style filmmaking. And we see it feels like those films from the 1960s and great big sets, great costumes, the great cars. Even some of the special effects with green screen are really pretty captivating. But the film, I think, finally kind of falls apart. You lose interest, and Christoph Waltz plays the Bond villain. I can't really go into who he is because it's a big surprise as well. Also, speaking of surprises, Bob, this is the favorite part of my week to talk with you, so I don't mind hijacking your newscast for just a second. And we just want to wish you a happy birthday. We understand that it's a very big one. Your team is very excited to celebrate this
happy
with you.
Birthday,
Paul. Oh, how sweet. Oh, thank you very much. And an actual birthday cake with candles.
Yeah, describe it for them.
Oh,
Oreo,
it's beautiful.
Cookie icing.
Oreo cookie
icing. And what do the candles
icing,
say,
my favorite.
Bob?
The candles say...
Over the...
We'll go with over the top.
Over the top. You are over the top, Bob. There you
thank
go.
You. Happy thank birthday. You to the Morning Edition team, Marilyn Abolia, and of course, Jared. Thank you so much.
Well, we know that you're going to be taking the next few days off, so we just wanted to make sure that you go out in style, that you are celebrated, because we are all very, very fond of you here.
Oh, thank you so much. And yeah, it'll take me a few days to celebrate, that's for sure. Thank you so much. And of course, Jared, you have, we want to make sure people know about Open Studio.
Tomorrow night, we'll be paying a visit to the Addison Gallery of American Art, looking at the relationship between Eva Hesse and Sol LeWitt, and the first time that we've ever looked at their artistic relationship in production. Also, I had the privilege recently of sitting down with Philip Glass to talk about his life and career just in advance of his In the Penal Colony at Boston Lyric Opera. So hearing from a legend.
Wow. Tomorrow night at 8:30. When I'll be celebrating as well. And I guess I have to blow out these candles, huh? Right.
Probably.
Ready?
Otherwise,
here
it's a
go.
Fire hazard.
All right, here we go. I'm going to take it right.
One,
two, three. Almost all of them.
Well done, Bob C.
Thanks, gang.